Hello and welcome to our program. Today we begin in Mark chapter 6. Jesus lived in Nazareth for about 30 years, and every Saturday he would have gone with his mother and Joseph to the synagogue, and he would have sat there and listened to whoever was talking. In Mark chapter 6, he comes back to Nazareth, and this time he goes to the synagogue to preach. And how does that work out? They are so angry with him, they try to throw him off a cliff. We'll look at it in a minute, but first, let's listen to this message and song.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds my anchor hold. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, currents lurk within the deep, angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock.
Reading in Mark chapter 6, it says, "And he, that is Jesus, went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? Oh, yeah, they're going to recognize him as the carpenter. And he says, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joas and of Judah and Simeon, and his sisters are here with us. Yeah, they say that Jesus didn't have any brothers and sisters. Read the Bible. It says right here, he even gives us their names. And it says they were offended at him. They were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and his own kin, and his own house. Well, the consequences of this situation was that he could do no mighty works there, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now, if you look at this same account in Luke chapter 4, it says, And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And verse 6 says he went to teach in the other villages in the area. Well, he sends his disciples out on a campaign. In verse number 7, it says he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. You're going to have to trust me to take care of you, is what he's saying. But be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, abide there till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Well, he went out, they went out, and the first thing we read here is they went out and preached that men should repent. First of all, we have the message, and the message hasn't changed in all these years, except in recent years, our so-called fundamental independent Baptist preachers have dumped repentance. No, it's in the Bible that to dump repentance is to preach a damnable heresy, and that's what's happening today. They went out and they preached that men should repent. The message came first. The miracles came second. Verse 13 says they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Well, while all of this was going on, we see King Herod's got a problem. It says in verse number 14, And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said it is Elijah, others said it is a prophet and one of the prophets. But Herod, he said, it is John whom I have beheaded. He is risen from the dead. And so we see he's obviously got a bad conscience here because he had put John the Baptist to death. Well, the cause of it, we have the details of it here in verse number 17 and on down through this chapter. It says, For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Back there, I used to be doing some real preaching. Don't have a lot of real preaching much anymore because you're going to end up in trouble like John did and Jesus did and all the disciples did. And John, he said, it's not right that you should have your brother's wife. Well, therefore, Herodias, that's the wife, had a quarrel with him and would have killed him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords and high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give thee unto half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Well, you got a woman scorned here. Verse 25, she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that you give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." Well, the king was exceeding sorry, yet for the oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger to give it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now we understand back here why in verse number 14, the King Herod is concerned. He says, "Oh, it's John the Baptist risen from the dead." Well, as we progress down through this chapter, we'll see the men came back from their campaign where they went out two by two preaching, and they give a report unto the Lord. We see the multitude, we see some more miracles, and then another storm, and they go back to the maniac territory. We'll look at it in our next program. Be sure and tune in. Well, there's only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Listen to this message in song.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. Resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is a living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.